morning in us and among us. Thank you, teacher of the church. We're continuing on the series, Learning How to Flow in the Supernatural. This is going to be part four of the church order. This is Sunday morning, 5:16:21. We've been looking at the office of the apostle. The Lord said to me that the reason that the church is out of order and in disarray is because it's not in the proper order. I do realize that there are some that are, but I personally have not been associated with any of them. Didn't even know they exist. I have recently become aware of one in our city, and their pastor just passed away this last week. There may be more. I certainly hope so. Because we all need our pistons firing, all pistons firing right now in this time. All of us. Like I said, the gates of hell won't prevail against the church, Jesus said. On this rock will I build my church. Well, what's the rock? He's the cornerstone, right? With the apostles and prophets being the chief, or being the foundation of it. Okay, a church without a foundation is a losing battle, no matter how you look at it. It doesn't even have a chance. To me, it's like a feather in the wind. That's how shakable a house that was built on the sand. Jesus said this in Matthew 7. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, we think this means faith, and we're going through a trial, but I've seen it in a new light. He's talking about a house here, God's house. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So you could still use it, I guess, when you're standing in faith, using the word, but this just kind of brought a new meaning to me, that the house that's built that doesn't have a foundation is not going to stand. It's going to be like the house on the sand. And first tide, down you go. First trial, first challenge that comes, the gates of hell will prevail against it. It'll last for a little bit, but not for long. But a house built on the rock, the floods can come, the winds can blow, and it stays stable. Yeah. Okay, Matthew 16, just a few pages over. Start with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be loosed in heaven, or bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Just think, if every church was in order and we began to corporately as a church begin to bind the devil and loose God's work into the earth. Think about it. Is it any wonder now that the church has been losing? It's been a loser proposition ever since I've been in it. My first stint with church was pastor that I dearly loved run off with the organ player. Something wrong with this picture, right? No accountability. Well, I'm sure his presbytery, you know, he was removed, of course, which is somewhat form of a apostle maybe over, or a board over, some accountability there. Anything out of divine order is a losing situation. All right, I want to look at Romans 1. This is a world out of order. We're going to start with verse 16. I always thought this was kind of a off-the-cuff scripture that, you know, what Paul said here, but now I understand why he said it the way he said it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So Paul's saying, I'm not ashamed to say what the Word of God says. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. One of the guys that Amber dated, his previous marriage, he had a little girl that was, I think, 2 years old. And I think their Church of Christ, and her mother had sent her to the potty, I guess by herself. And he comes in the hallway, and there's a guy has her down on the ground, is going to rape her. Yeah. And he tried to kill him, and the elders pulled him off of the man. Well, because he didn't go ahead and kill him, the wife left him over it, not protecting their daughter. But, I mean, I'm thinking, the little thing was there by herself. Or either they sent her out of the nursery by herself. Something's wrong here. She's a beautiful girl. And she has no recollection of what nearly happened to her. A church out of order and a world out of order. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Doesn't the church set the standard? And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Well, when you see a world out of order, what do you also see? A church out of order. The gates of hell have prevailed against the church. Look how big it's gotten. It's not just in Israel anymore. It's not just in some foreign country somewhere. It's everywhere, every nook and cranny of the earth. Jesus said that the church, the gates of hell, would not prevail against the church. It would be built on Peter. Peter was an apostle. I mean, it's plainly in the Word. Okay, let's keep going. A church out of order is a world out of order. Well, how do we get the church in order? Okay, Ephesians 4. Verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. To me, religion, just Christianity, it's so splintered in so many different pieces and fragments. You got one on one channel teaching the rapture. You got one on another saying, no, there's not going to be a rapture. You know, it's like, and that's just one thing. They're thinking, how are people going to know what to even believe today? Because it's just all such a mess. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, we're supposed to be Christ ambassadors. We're supposed to be measuring up to that standard, Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. For whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Just think about it. If we were as unified as the deep state, as the devil and his bunch, his crowd, they may hate each other, but they stick together and they stick to the same old plan. I mean, they just do it. Russia, 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 till you feel like you're, oh, they brought up Russia again. They're still bringing up Russia after nearly 5 years. Russia, Russia, Russia. And I'm thinking, they just keep whipping that old dog. And I'm thinking, I will say this about it, at least they're consistent. If we were that consistent in doing God's work, we wouldn't be here. Let me keep going. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, like verse 1 of 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. He goes on to tell us to stay away from fornication. Everything we see running rampant in the world and in the church, right there. He says, you're not darkness. He goes on to say, you're not darkness. You walk as little children of light in the Lord. Well, let me read 5. I need to do that. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as become as saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. These, whatever they are, this is their agenda. This is the worship of the beast. This is his agenda. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. God is going to judge them. He's talking about that. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. No more sipping saints, huh? Speak it to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Then it goes on to talk about wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. See, the church is out of order, marriages are out of order, the homes are out of order, the children are out of order, the world is out of order. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Yeah, he gave his own flesh for us, his church. For this cause should a man leave his father and mother, be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you be in particular love his wife, even as himself, and the wives too, that she reverence her husband. Then it goes on to talk about the children obeying their parents. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Do you see the order here? Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You don't know why God's placed you where He has, but He's got a purpose. And if you'll start looking at it, if this is God's purpose for me instead of I hate this place, you might get some revelation on it. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, when we get it all in order, finally, guess what? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, not succumb to him, not give in to him, not infiltrate in the church and the world and the homes and everything else, the schools. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You might as well look at the deep state players that we see today and see the devil up there with his strings attached to him, and he's calling the shots and he's maneuvering them. Why? Church out of order. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So what's he saying? He's saying here, when everything's working in order, the church is a force to be reckoned with. God's representatives in the earth, armed and dangerous, successful in whatever they do, occupying till he comes. We see the fruit of divine order here. Now we are members of the body of Christ. And we can wage a good warfare and expect to win. You begin to see home order, ministry order, church order. You see the children in order. They're carrying on the tradition. The Apostle Paul said this to the Gentiles when he was speaking to the Corinthians. Let all things be done decently and in order, because he walked into a cultures that were idol worshipers and did sex, you know, orgies in the temple and all this kind of stuff, probably child sacrifice. He had to correct it. All right, let's go over back a few pages to Ephesians 2. Verse 19. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Since the office of the apostle as a whole is really not recognized, most do not know what an apostle is supposed to do. So this is where I will continue explaining what the Lord has shown me and what the late C. Peter Wagner related in his books about the office. He was an apostle who was then the lead when the apostolic reformation began in the late 90s. Now in the 80s, it was really the time that the prophets started coming forth and being restored to the church. Also the apostles, but the apostles got messed up in the shepherding movement, abused their power and authority, and gave the office of apostle a bad name. So everybody now is like this when you mention an apostle. Hopefully they've come out of it. Okay? We have looked at horizontal apostles and vertical apostles. Now I want to look at hyphenated apostles. All right, let's turn to 2 Timothy 1. Paul says this about himself. Well, in verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. The verse 11, he says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, usually a preacher is an evangelist. If you look up the gifts, evangelist is a preacher, a proclaimer of the gospel. And we know he was because he went all around teaching. That's why he got beat up so much. He's bringing the gospel. So we see that he was not only an apostle, but a teacher and evangelist. I personally believe that all the gifts that God gave to the church have teaching. I don't see how you could operate in any of the gifts without teaching. Or maybe even preaching. I mean, we're all should be preaching the gospel and however the Lord leads us and wherever we go. All right. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 5. Now Paul is admonishing Timothy. He says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. So we see here Timothy was an evangelist and an apostle. And a teacher. They all were teachers. All right. I personally believe all these gifts that God gave to the church have teaching behind them, and I just said that. Timothy, besides being an apostle in Paul's time, was also admonished by Paul to do the work of the evangelist. And we read that in Ephesians 4. Okay. Here's what an evangelist is from the Strong's, a preacher of the gospel. Well, we see where Paul called himself a preacher. We see evangelist and apostle and teacher manifest in Paul's ministry. He was not ever called a prophet. Even in Acts chapter 13, it does not say he was a prophet. We'll look at that so you can see that. It indicates there were prophets. This is verse 1 here. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius a Cyrenian Manon which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. It just said he'd been brought up with the Tetrarch, Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. It didn't say Saul was a prophet. A lot of people say, well, he was a prophet. Now, I believe with all the visions and revelations that he saw, yeah, possibly, he stood in that office also. A lot of people think you can only stand in one office at a time, but Jesus walked in all five. He didn't come as the Son of God, he came as the Son of Man. He became flesh, he dwelt among us. He showed us an example. As the last Adam. Okay. I tell you, we need to get religious thinking out of our minds. And what we heard old grandpa say or somebody else, we've got to listen to the Word of God. We've got to get in the Word and see what it really says. When you question somebody, I don't know how many I heard just a couple of times, maybe yesterday, once just the opposite about, oh, don't you ever come against Israel, oh, and about the rapture and all this stuff. And I'm going, you're so full of crap. I don't even know how they even let you on this channel. Because it absolutely is not biblical. Israel's been hijacked. They've been scattered throughout all the nations. That's why they had to be gathered by the angels in the book of Revelation. Are there some original ones that live there? Sure there are. And we're not talking about the Israeli people. We're talking about the Phoenicians, the Khazarian mafia that have hijacked and picked Judaism, but they are Jews. Jesus said there are those that say they are Jews and they are not. When he's mentioned that talking about to the churches, he brings that up. So don't give me this religious bull that we have bought Like we're doing something ugly. Well, we've got to stand with Israel no matter what. Why? Even if most of them are Khazarian mafia, we're supposed to bless that? No. We're the Jew also. We've been grafted in. Not circumcised in the flesh, but in the heart. See, all these religious things that has blocked us from our liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. Do you know when a Jew becomes born again, they're no longer considered a Jew? They're Christian. So it's kind of interchangeably, that term there. Yeah, there's real Jewish people. There are. But I'd be willing to say, since the wings were plucked off the lion, you know, talking about the woman was carried by an eagle to safety, there's probably more Jews in the United States than anywhere in the world. That changes the picture, doesn't it? All right, he's going to gather us all from the four corners of the earth, period, it says. All right, let me keep going here. All right. Where did I stop? I think most have been traditionally taught that you can only hold one office at a time, but this is a lie. Jesus walked in all five of these gifts. We should be open to letting the Lord use us as he sees fit and not get so caught up in titles. Yeah. See, Peter Wagner makes the statement that a pastor usually stays within the confines of 200 or less. We're talking about just a traditional pastor. Larger congregations from like 700 to 800 or larger more than likely are under an apostle, whether recognized or not. In this day, probably not recognized. There's just a more authoritative, a more dynamic anointing on the apostle to build than there is on the pastor. The pastor's a shepherd, more individual, caring for the sheep. An apostle is a builder, a promoter, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Nothing against that. That's just kind of, you know. I think that apostles are just as common as the other four gifts to the church. For many years, the prophet was not really recognized either, but now they seem to be everywhere. And I think about this too. Apostles, all five ministry gifts should be to the place that whatever they teach, whatever words they bring, they should be able to present it to the apostle for judgment. Or the intercessor board with the prophets, not just usually one apostle, it's a board of accountability. If that would have happened, we wouldn't have had 50 prophets saying 50 things during all of this. If it's being judged and being, you know, deciding is this the Lord or not the Lord, should we release it or not release it? No one should be afraid of accountability. This just keeps everybody safe and everybody accountable. Okay. Instead of bless God, I know I hear from the Lord. I don't need you to do that. We can all miss it. Because what comes through when we give a word, it comes through a soul. Even though it's the gift of the Spirit in manifestation, it still comes through that person's soul and their understanding about things. If you don't believe me, go look at some prophecies. And you'll see maybe in that prophecy, they didn't have a full understanding of what they were talking about. It comes through what you know and what you've learned also. Like if you don't believe in flat earth, then you're going to maybe prophesy about planets and things and this and that. And I've heard people say that. And I know what I've studied out. I know what the Word of God proves out. Over 200 scriptures verify flat earth in some form or another. And here they're talking about, you don't see that in the Bible. Not anywhere or any place unless they've added it. So we have to, it's coming through a human filter. And if it wasn't, we'd be like robots. Right? Okay. The church can only win by utilizing all five gifts that God gave to his church. Here's a biggie. Marketplace apostles. Now listen to this one. I said a few weeks ago that this is what our wonderful POTUS, Donald John Trump, is. How better to take the seven mountains than with these marketplace apostles? See, I haven't quite got all this completed, but I'll just give you a little tidbit here. Churchy people and people that aren't in ministry, they don't seem to meet. We think we've got our Sunday, your Sunday way and your Monday way. And it shouldn't be that way. Is it any wonder that the beginning in the church, they met every day? And they met in homes, not in the temple, that God had moved out of. Yeah. All right. I would like to read you a list of 12 things that apostles do. I'll have more on that later. Okay. See, it shouldn't be that way. Sunday should be like Monday, like Tuesday, like Wednesday, like Thursday, like Friday, like Saturday, wherever you go. The preacher thinks, you know, if you're a marketplace apostle, well, you're into business and all that thing, all that kind of stuff. And it's real easy to judge and say, well, you know, look at that big house and look at that money and look at that this and look at that. Isn't that the way the church does? Mm-hmm. If people judge the church leaders that God has blessed and says, well, they must be stealing from the offering plate to get it. I heard a prophet that's been very in the forefront with all kinds of prophecies about everything, and he's been spot on. But I've heard him sit and criticize Joyce Meyer because she paid $20,000 for a toilet. And his motive and the way he said it was she stole that from the people. And I'm telling you, that is so wrong. They get a paycheck just like you. Is it my business if you want a $20,000 toilet and you go buy it? No. Or they want to bash Brother Copeland because he's got big airplanes. Well, they didn't know that he's probably giving away 50. 25, okay. Instead of working together and getting the gospel out, we're judging. And then you know the one over here that's the marketplace apostle and he's doing God's work. He thinks that old stiff preacher, you know. Can you see? We're supposed to be a team. Like I said, more on that later. All right, these are list of 12 things that apostles do. They receive revelation. They cast a vision. They birth. Like they pray a lot. They impart. They govern. They teach. They send. They finish. And they war. A few more here. They align generations, they equip, and they build. See, we've got to leave the church. Say the 1,000 years are gone, and I don't know what's going to happen after that, but the ones coming up under us need to be taught, or they're not going to know. The generations to come. They must be of good character. This is 1 Timothy 3. I'd have to say this is probably one of the biggest things about the office of the apostle and probably the prophet also. First Timothy 3. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. Apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, and not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Really, this is bishop here is talking about pastors, more so. not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. These are deacons. Hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ridding their children in their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Okay. All right, Paul had to take care of some of the really sticky situations. 1 Corinthians 4. And I'm sure they probably thought he was harsh sometimes. All right, 1 Corinthians 4. 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required as stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory, as if thou hast not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscourging of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though ye have had 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you, but I would come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and you will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in meekness, or in a spirit of meekness? Then he goes on to chapter 5. It's reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you're puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Boy, in the church today, boy, I tell you what, there wouldn't be much left in the church, would there, after he got through with them? For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? If you don't get them out of there, that's why you can't have that stuff in the church. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Because it's going to overtake the whole church. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. I kid you not. Way back in the early 90s, when I was on staff at a certain church, the pastor told me they were being sued by someone. He said he had a bunch of the couples coming to him about they having thoughts of adultery. Never had those thoughts before, ever. Well, come to find out, one of his ministers started counseling this woman without his wife present, and they got into an affair. And so he had to go in there and correct it and all that kind of stuff and fire the minister. He later got sued for it, but they ended up not getting much, anything. But it caused people in the couples in the congregation started having unholy thoughts. It's kind of like when Achan did what he did. When Joshua told him, don't touch anything. And he grabs a garment and some silver and he puts it in his tent. And they go out to battle and they get whipped. And he said, Lord, what's up? He said, there's sin in the camp. So by lots, they come down to Achan and his family. You know what they did to him? They took him out and all their stuff, the whole family, stoned them to death and then burned them. And then all their stuff. Yeah. Wonder what happened. You did that today. We're fixing to see some of that. This is the way we treat traitors in this country. Yeah. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company with any man that is called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among you that wicked person. Then he goes on to talk about they're suing each other in court. Need to be bringing it to the church, not going to the world. Well, it was a rule at this church, or any church that's worth anything, that when you counsel, like whatever the pastor would counsel, he opened the door between where my office was and his office, where I heard what was said in that room if his wife couldn't go in there or his wife wasn't available. I heard exactly what was going on. He had a witness. Why? Because of that garbage that happened. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I remember we were carpooling and I had some kid in the back. Or two or three kids in the back seat, taking them to church school, and that's because I worked at that church. Here these kids are gossiping about this couple having an affair and all that kind of stuff, and I said, y'all need to shut your mouths. This is none of your business. They heard it from their parents. Yeah. I like the old saying, they're better seen than not heard. That's how we grew up, man. When we had company, we sat at the table and colored, and we best not say anything, or Daddy had a mean strap, and I had many marks. You learn. And I'm not saying that that's also right, but I'm saying this. These kids that disrupt everything loud, and just their behavior, so out of control. Church out of order. Home out of order, world out of order. Yeah. Okay, let's keep going here. So Paul had to take care of some really sticky situations. The apostles have to be blameless before God, but so do all five ministry gifts. They are entrusted with an unusual amount of authority, as we can see here with Paul. Okay, 1 Timothy 3, verse 6. Because 1 Timothy is talking about here, we'll start with verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach, into the snare of the devil. Then it goes on to talk about the deacons. Same thing. I've been a deaconess before in a congregation. Well, they do. They're mainly just, if somebody throws up, you clean it up, or you pass the offering plate and that kind of thing. It's basically they wait on people. Kind of keep things in order while the service is going on. Seat people. Get them, you know. No room for pride. In some cases, apostles may outwardly appear proud, like arrogant, authoritative, manipulative, self-promoting, and haughty. The office is definitely not for a novice. Humility is a must for an apostle. All right, we're going to read a few scriptures here. 2 Corinthians 11. All right, 16. 2 Corinthians 11, 16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now is in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when you come together in the church, you hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. He ragged on them. Yeah. All right, go back to 10. Verse 8. He says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3,000. Verse 15 there. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. I mean, he laid down the law at different times because he wanted to. You know what? That's wrong. I'm thinking that really don't. It's 2 Corinthians, sorry. 2 Corinthians 11. And then 2 Corinthians 10. Sorry. 11, 2 Corinthians 11, 16. I say again that no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. I told you, one of the people think they're kind of boastful. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will also glory. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? I'm not weak. Who is offended? I murmur not. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped my hands. They're probably going, here he goes again. Nobody's seen the trouble he's seen. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Now he goes on to talk about his thorn in the flesh. Yeah. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10, 8. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. All right, verse 15. Not boastings of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that ye shall be enlarged, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. All right, 2 Corinthians 12, 1. I already read that to you. He'd come to revelations in the Lord. All right, 1 Corinthians 15. I didn't realize he had said, I boast so much. All the scriptures were something about boasting. I'm thinking, wow, hadn't noticed that. It says 15:31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, I die daily. All right, 1 Corinthians 14, 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Apostles hold the most exalted offices in the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all impart? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Then he goes on to talk about the way of love. Without the love, no office. Especially the office of apostle. Because I want to talk about the sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easy provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and charity never fails. Never fails. Okay, Matthew 23. Verse 11 and 12. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. In my own opinion, I think in today's world, Moses would probably have been an apostle. Okay, Numbers 12:3. He learned the hard way says here, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. He wrote that about himself, you know that? But if you did notice about him when you're reading through the story about Moses and the children of Israel, that whenever they would act up, he'd just hit the ground. Yeah, just hit the ground. God would go on in and do what he had to do. If you humble yourself, then God does not have to humble you. Humility is recognizing that the power is of God and not of us. Character must be dealt with first before the power can be imparted. And we're going to read one more set of scriptures and we'll be done with this teaching. Luke chapter 4. Verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. The devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. Or hence. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time they dash a foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Okay, now pick up with 15. And he taught in their synagogues, and being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in this country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was brought throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, save Naaman the Syrian. All they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. If he hadn't had the training, kind of like Paul, having to be let down in a basket from the wall. Yeah. Good thing that character was matured. What would we do if you were the one in that situation? Hopefully godly character would come out.